It's time to swing into the golf world of today with Springdale Golf Live on Fox Sports 920 The Jersey. Sponsored by TaylorMade and the New Jersey Golf Foundation. Now, here's your host, the director of fun, Keith Stewart.
It's Friday afternoon. Welcome to Springdale Golf Live. I'm your host, Keith Stewart, the director of fun. Thank you for tuning into Fox Sports 920 The Jersey.
Oh, the shark, babe, has such teeth there. And it shows
you know it, Memorial Day is in the rearview mirror, so summer's here. And I thought I'd start your weekend with a little hip tune. I know it will get the attention of our guest. Sports and pop culture are soon to inspire us again. So roll those windows down, turn up the radio for a second, and enjoy the vibe.
With its teeth, baby, scarlet billows start to spread. Fancy gloves, though, where's old Maggie Heath, babe?
Well, we have a cool plan for this afternoon's pro show. One of my favorites from Sports Business Journal is with us. As the sports kingdom begins to wake up from hibernation, I couldn't think of a better person to join us today and help put it all into perspective. Thomas Leary, assistant editor at Sports Business Journal, working and writing there since 2016. He loves all sports, but golf are one of his passions. For sure. Thomas, welcome to Springdale Golf Live. How are you today?
Doing well, Keith. Thanks for having me.
With all that's going on in the sports world, having someone like you who's an expert that's working at a publication that is covering all sorts of sports and what's going on, first of all, how's everyone doing over there at the magazine? Everyone holding tight? Everyone safe? Everyone healthy?
You know, yeah, we can't really complain here, Keith. In Charlotte, North Carolina, everyone's working from home. You know, everyone's social distancing. Been that way for a little over 2 months now. But still finding a way to get the magazine out. Still finding a way to get out our nightly newsletters, Sports Business Daily. Things have changed a little bit, but in the grand scheme of things, I don't think we can complain.
As we get into this, it seems like NBA, NHL, there's all these rumors circling and everything. And one of the big news stories of the past two weekends is that golf has been the first ones to kind of really test the waters and put out these exhibition matches. I know NASCAR is back and we have German soccer and some other things, but truth be told, these two events, especially the one this past weekend that they had the match to, have really kind of opened everyone's eyes to the return of sports. So how much of a positive influence do you feel like the past two weekends have had on the sports world?
You know, I think it's been two back-to-back huge weekends for golf. One of my major takeaways, I'd say, Keith, from both events, you could tell that the event operators, the broadcasters, the players themselves, I think you could tell there was genuine preparation for these matches, both from a safety protocol standpoint, as well as a consumer interest standpoint. You know, players practice social distancing. I'd love seeing Rory McIlroy out there carrying his own bag. I love that he wanted to do that to show that people can go out and play golf if their local governments allow, carry their own bag. You don't need a cart. I thought there was genuine concern for the moment in time that we're in from both events. I love the charitable aspect that really the first Tiger and Phil match I thought was kind of lacking. You know, I think golf really was a little bit of a leader these past weekends in showing that, you know, sports are still possible right now. It has to be unique. It has to be done with a lot of caution and preparation. But I thought both events really did well.
So obviously you're a sports fan. What did you think of the two matches? Did you enjoy them as a viewer? Would you change anything? You know, what do you think this leads us toward as we start to see different types of broadcasts in what may be some kind of new sports normal?
Well, I tell you what, I love seeing Tom Brady swing it like I do. That was very relatable there for about 2 hours on Sunday. You know, I think a couple aspects, I love the mic'd up players. I think that's something that hard golf fans are really pushing for. I think they want to hear the thought process of players as they evaluate shots, as they stand over putts, as they consult their caddies. That's something I think we're seeing more and more of an appetite for. And these, you know, I don't want to call them hit and giggles, but these events with not too high of a stakes, that's a really good chance for broadcasters to enhance that. And you get things like Charles Barkley talking smack to Tom Brady. You know, you get Matthew Wolff doing, you know, having a few moments this couple weekends ago where you could tell he didn't really know where he was. I think mic'd up players is a great thing that we're going to take away from some of these events.
Yeah, there's no doubt that we can learn a lot from these broadcasts. And, you know, there's a great golf writer, Jeff Shackelford, And he came out this week and he said, you know, that the broadcast for the match two would fundamentally change the way golf is seen by TV execs. Now, you work for Sports Business Journal. It implies the business of sports. How do you see going forward these matches affect some of the things beyond miking them up when it comes to sponsorships and how these will be packaged? Because, you know, I've been one to say that this whole pandemic that has taken place is kind of provided what I call the Great Reset. So at one time there was the Great Depression, but I'm calling this the Great Reset. It seems like anything that we want to change, we could, because we're kind of starting over in a way, right? So when Shackelford brings that up, I think he makes a great point. Fundamentally, you know, how do you see the approach from the business side? It's going to change the way that we look at, and we'll get to this more in a minute, but, you know, Tiger and Phil are slated for match three already. They signed a 3-match deal when this started. So when you go from match two to match three or the return of the NBA, I think you get my point.
Right. I think especially the TV number that the match two with Tiger and Phil drew this past weekend, you're going to see much more appetite for these one-off golf events outside of the PGA Tour, Thursday through Sunday, 72-hole stroke event. I think the hardcore golf fan like you and I, Keith, we love that. We pay attention to that every week. There's going to be an appetite for a Tuesday night primetime match between Rory McIlroy and Ricky Fowler. Maybe throw some celebrities in like they did with Tom and Peyton Manning. I think there's format changes and there's an ability to draw the more casual fan when you have these one-offs, maybe on a holiday weekend, that are able to bring in fans from outside, those guys who are watching the second round of the John Deere.
So you talk about the casual fan there, and I like where you're going there. So if you and I are planning and we have a whiteboard and we could put together match three, we know Tiger and Phil are involved. Mm-hmm. Who are the other two, or are you picking other two? Is there an undercard? Based upon what we know from match one and match two, what do you got for me, Thomas?
You know, I'll be honest, we've seen those rumors about Michael Jordan and Stephen Curry. Maybe you could correct me if I'm wrong, Keith. Is Michael Jordan anywhere near as good a player as Stephen Curry? Because Curry can play.
You know, so down there at the Grove 23, Jordan has been known to put some good rounds together. Certainly better than what Manning and Brady could put together on Sunday.
Okay.
I think Jordan's a hot button topic, and we could get off on a Last Dance conversation for about 2 hours between you and I, I'm sure, or anyone else at this point. So I think Jordan's a very hot button topic. I mean, what if I threw out Pat Mahomes versus Steph Curry? Because they're both very good golfers. All right. So we're talking low single digit handicap golfers. Jordan can play. Yes. To answer your question, Jordan can play and he could hold his own. And I think his competitive nature that he showed over the course of those 10 episodes, the grinder in him wouldn't allow him to not play well. I could throw Jordan in there, but if I'm going to go Curry, I'm going to go Mahomes because I want to be a little more current. You know, the average age of the match two was 44.5. So I want to pull it down a little bit. And I know that they killed it in the 18 to 49 demographic, but if we're going to have this conversation, you and I, you're younger than me. So, you know, who do you want to see? Who's this next generation athlete besides Steph that could play? Jordan's over 50.
Jordan's up there. You know, I think Steph Mahomes is a great one. I think they both have fan bases that would tune in. Absolutely. They're both good players. Let's see. I'm trying to think of someone younger who could really draw viewers the way that those two can. And I'm not sure I'm coming up with someone. You know, it doesn't go with the age demographic. I'd keep your eye on Tony Romo. I think he plays as much as he possibly can. I could see him. If CBS gets involved in one of these, I think you'll see him in there if he wants to be. But I think Steph and Mahomes, I think that'd be a great draw. But I just remember Steph competing in that web.com event and really holding his own there for at least about a day and a half.
Oh, yeah, Steph, there was no doubt he had a great showing in that event. And, you know, that brings us to another subject, which is PGA Tour events. You know, we're about 2 weeks away from the return of the PGA Tour. And I know it's not one of the four major sports, but this is a major one. And as a golf professional, I'm curious on how you view that comeback and what you're hearing as an insider. Are the NBA, is the NHL, are they kind of watching to see how this goes with the PGA Tour before they really try to solidify what they're doing?
You know, I think both the NBA and MLB, I think they'll be pleased to be coming back after the PGA Tour. I don't know if there are enough common threads between the three leagues to really put as much stake in that as we would maybe want. golf, as we've said, it was always in kind of a strange place in this pandemic where you can practice social distancing. It's a little bit easier to pull off than an NBA game, than an MLB game where there's one ball. I think they'll be paying very close attention, especially when it comes to testing. I think one of the PGA Tour's biggest concerns is going to be the traveling, the changing of the week-to-week venue. I think MLB and NBA right now are really focused on the bubble theory, and that's something that is going to really differentiate itself from the PGA Tour as it comes back.
Okay, so that, I'm going to go in a different direction because I think you bring up a good point there that I didn't consider, and that's the bubble versus the travel, right? Mm-hmm. The contained environment, if the NBA goes to Disney, they're all just staying in one spot. Right. And that seems like it would have less challenges than going from city to city. So I want to make another comparison then. And folks, you know what? If you're just joining us, we are very fortunate today because we have Thomas Leary with us. Thomas is an editor at Sports Business Journal, and he and I are discussing kind of the comeback of sports here. There's been so many stories. So one of the ones that interests me is I am a PGA professional. I work at a place called Springdale Golf Club. We are the home course for two Division I teams, the men's and women's Princeton golf teams. All right, so I want to talk about college athletics. This involves travel. This involves dormitories. Do you think that there's more of a tie-in then? Do you think that college athletics would be looking towards the PGA Tour to see how they do to then come up with some of what they need to do in order to return sports safely?
I'm sure they will, Keith. I would just caution that, you know, the NCAA really pushes that phrase of the student athlete. And I think right now they're in a very tricky spot where I just don't see how you can bring back student athletes when students themselves can't be on campus. And I think while they'll certainly look at PGA Tour events for whether they can stage athletic events of their own on a smaller scale, I'm sure that'll weigh into their thinking. But I think right now when you listen to college leaders across the landscape, they're being very careful not to put student athletes ahead of the student experience on campus. So I think we need to see a bit of a more broad plan to get students back in the classroom, and that'll ease things up for college athletic leaders so they can get athletes back as well.
So if we're, you know, fans of college football or any of those fall sports, then certainly the steps, from what it sounds like coming from you as someone who's hearing more than certainly we're hearing and certainly more than my listeners, we have to have a safe return to school plan in place before we think we're going to have college sports.
I think so. I think the optics of staging a men's golf match in college when no one's been on campus for 7 months, I think that's going to be a hard thing for athletic directors and for conferences to swing.
You know, one of the things that for me, you know, that I brought them up earlier are dorms and travel. You know, teams, they live in close, you know, connection to one another in these smaller dorms. They have roommates. And then, of course, they're getting on buses and planes and trains, and they're traveling to different places. I mean, there's not a lot of social distancing going on there. So certainly they're going to have their challenges there for sure. And, you know, I mean, you guys have had your challenges there at the Journal with no sports going on. You know, I love the idea. I mentioned it earlier of a whiteboard or spitballing. I mean, what are some of the ideas? Like, what have you guys been up to in order to keep trying to feed the machine that is Sports Business Journal week in and week out? You have to have one or two crazy stories of some things that you guys wanted to cover or storylines that you wanted to bring up. Give my listeners a little bit of fun of what's been going on around in the background of where you work.
Well, I can't lie and say there wasn't a complete panic around the office. I guess it was March 11th when the NBA shut down. We were actually about to send our Sports Business Journal media newsletter out that night when the Rudy Gobert test became public knowledge. And I don't like to use the phrase, my jaw hit the floor, but I think that's one where it's actually applicable. You know, I think we've done probably something a lot of other publications have done. We, you know, we have a thread that goes back and forth. What can we do? You know, how can we uncover some stories that we wouldn't have thought about 3 months ago? I think one thing that's been really big for us is identifying who's leading sports throughout this crisis. You know, I think we've paid a lot of attention to someone like a Mark Cuban, someone who's willing to go on the record, willing to say interesting things, and really willing to be wrong. I think Adam Silver gets a lot of credit for that as well. I think we've a little bit followed their lead as well in seeing and identifying, you know, how can we shape new leaders and how can we identify those leaders for our readership as the new normal continues to develop.
You think we could throw Jay Monahan into that category?
I think we look closely at Jay Monahan. I think that Thursday afternoon, that Thursday first round at the Players was a little bit of an awkward moment for Goff. I think Jay Monahan largely does a good job. That was a funny 24 hours. But I think Goff since then has been in a nice spot, and I respect what the tour is doing. I think Andy Pasner did a really nice job maybe a couple weeks ago where he stressed that the tour wasn't gung-ho on bringing fans back after the first four or six events. I think that was an important clarification for them. Other outlets were kind of, you know, hinting that the tour is really pushing to get fans back as soon as possible. I think that was an important clarification for the tour to make, and I give Monahan credit for that.
You know, one thing's for sure, I love how you just brought all that answer together and you said you guys are really watching the leaders, you know, and we're very fortunate today, folks, to have a leader with us. Now, Thomas, I need to take a quick break for the sponsors. Can you hold on for a second?
Absolutely. I'm here.
And I appreciate that. Well, hey, folks, it's 3:16 p.m. here in Princeton. Thanks for listening to Fox Sports 920 The Jersey. We'll be back in a moment with more from Thomas Leary from Sports Business Journal and his views on the future of fans.
Could that someone be Mac the Knife? There's a tugboat.
The New Jersey Golf Foundation, the charitable arm of the NJPA section, is committed to positively impacting lives and communities through the game of golf. With a focus on three core pillars, youth, military, and special needs, the NJGF delivers dynamic programming under the guidance of PGA professionals, so individuals from all backgrounds can experience the game of golf in a welcoming environment. To support the NJGF or learn more about programs and special events, visit njgolffoundation.org. That's njgolffoundation.org.
Hey, it's me, your cell phone. We need to talk about something serious. I know you love me, I know you like using me wherever you are, but I feel like this isn't working out when you're driving. I know you may think that it's possible to focus both on me and the road, but I just don't feel the same way. I think we should spend time away from each other when you're driving. It's for the best.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Rich in distinguished history for nearly 125 years, Springdale Golf Club and its members have been beautifully making their mark as the best golf and social experience in our region. Our impact in the industry does not stop there. Did you know about the benefits that extend beyond the boundaries of the club through its agreement with Troon Purvey, the private club operating division of Troon Golf Management? Springdale's walkable and superbly conditioned William Flynn design course, now combined with Troon's operational expertise, are taking the club to the next level in our commitments to the member experience. Just announced as a significant expansion to the Troon Purvey Privileges Program. This Vanguard service initiative includes enhanced golf and lifestyle benefits that extend far beyond the fairways. For more information about our club and all the incredible moments being made at Springdale Golf Club and through Troon Purvey, please take a visit of our website at www.springdalegc.org/Troon Purvey.
Let's get back on course as Springdale Golf Live continues on Fox Sports 920 The Jersey. Once again, Keith Stewart.
Welcome back to Springdale Golf Live. I'm your host, Keith Stewart. You know me as the Director of Fun. You're listening to Fox Sports 920 The Jersey. All right, Wade, you know what? I'm setting the stage for you. You're on the deck. It's perfect weather. The ice cubes are clinking in your glass. The sun's in perfect position for the second half of our show. You got a song for this moment, bud?
Ain't shady, baby, I'm hot like the prodigal son.
Oh, I see you do. Turn it up.
Pick up a tallini, meeny, money, moe, and flower. You're the chosen one.
Back on the tee with Thomas Leary, editor, writer, creative spirit at the Sports Business Journal. We've discussed the return of sports, and with our time remaining today, I'd like to delve into the fan experience. Let's start with a basic question. How important, Thomas, are fans in the stands?
Oh, they're critical, Keith, and I think you're seeing that play out in this pretty ugly dispute right now between MLB and the players. I think you've seen the NBA and the NBPA postpone what is basically going to be a full-scale change to their collective bargaining agreements. All those agreements take in revenue models that are based on filled arenas and filled stands. And I think now, you know, the thing that I think is important to remember, even if, let's say, we flip a switch and fans are allowed at every sporting event tomorrow, you're allowed to have filled stadiums. You know, do we really think fans are going to rush to these sporting events and sit shoulder to shoulder when we've all been told not to do that for the past 3 months? I think there's going to be a long-term effect in the mindset of fans going forward after this. I don't think there's going to be an emphasis on full stadiums, and leagues are going to have to work that new mindset into their revenue models for seasons going forward, and it'll have repercussions for years.
Real quick, how do you feel about crowd noise being pumped into an athletic event then?
You know, I'd say 4 months ago, I'd find it borderline offensive. I think now, why not? I think we have to not take ourselves so seriously here. It's good with me. I think maybe the XFL should have done it. I have no issue with pumped in crowd noise. The Falcons did it 3 years ago.
Yeah. Well, that's a different story altogether. Let's not go down that road. But, you know, when it comes to the leaders at ESPN, can they really take on the risk of having just mic'd up coverage of the NBA? You know, can we really hear what's going on the floor? I mean, I think a lot of fans would love that, but can we go down that road?
You know, it'll be a different experience. As my grandma used to say, she didn't like hearing the squeakiness of the shoes. So maybe that's one critique you may hear. You know, I think there's going to be a hunger for live sports. I think we saw it with the ratings for golf this Sunday. I think there's going to be a little bit of a fuller understanding of maybe not the sports product that we had 6 months ago. If you need to bleep out words by coaches, if you need to get used to a little bit more silence in your sports telecast, I think that's going to be a worthy trade-off for a sports fan who's just looking for live events.
You know, when I watched that UFC fight and you could hear all that was going on, you can even hear the announcers and the fighters because there was no fans there. It was just really interesting. And it got me thinking about all the different levels of how much you would be able to hear during a broadcast, which you normally couldn't because of fan noise. It's just an interesting conversation to have. And one of the things that always interests me about what you all are writing at the Sports Business Journal, and folks, if you're just joining us, we're with Thomas Leary. He's an editor over at Sports Business Journal. And you guys cover the industry side of the sports world. And one of those things is about the fan experience. So I want to stay on this fan topic for a second. One of the things I love reading about are what all the different arenas and stadiums are doing, moving forward, increasing the fan experience up until the point of this past mid-March. What's going to happen to that fan experience when we were talking about all different sorts of levels of F&B, seating arrangements? You know, are people going to have to wear masks now? What's the fan experience going to be? I like what you said. You don't think that, you know, tens of thousands of people are going to be pouring into arenas readily. But what do you guys feel like at the Journal, the fan experience, which has been so focused on by the owners and the businesses of sports, what do you think that experience rollout is going to be?
You know, Keith, I think you could see less emphasis on distractions, less emphasis on attractions that a lot of venues were putting in away from the field of play. And I think you're going to see a double down on safety. We mentioned Mark Cuban earlier. He floated the idea of even creating an app that would guide Mavericks fans into a certain parking lot outside the arena that would then tell you which entrance to enter the arena in, that would then guide you to your seat where someone would wipe down the chair. I think you're going to see much, much less emphasis on kid zones throughout the arena, on luxury suites. I think there's going to be a safety feature that is going to be really harped on here in the next year at all venues.
So going along the lines there with safety, one of the things that people keep discussing is what are some of the positive results that are going to come out of this great reset? And, you know, safety obviously would be one of them, but what do you also feel would be something else that is going to come out of this sports pause that is going to benefit not only the fans, but the sports business industry in general?
You know, I think there's going to be a general goodwill around the sports industry for a while now, if things can and will get back to normal. I think people miss their nightly baseball game on the radio, if that's how they listen. I think people miss going to a college basketball game if they have season tickets. I think there's going to be an almost reset of appreciation for the variety of products that are across the sports industry, you know, whether that's in NASCAR with, you know, the success that they had with their esports offering. You know, I think people miss the basic things that they maybe took for granted. And we've never had this. We've, you know, we haven't had a year without the Masters. We haven't had spring training shut down. I think when sports are able to come back, even if that's in a scaled down fashion, there's going to be a sense of goodwill, both from fans, from players, hopefully from team ownership and the leagues as well. I think things will be good to get back to normal and fans will appreciate it.
I love what you said there. Reset of appreciation. Mm-hmm. Well, there's no doubt that you may have a reset of appreciation of this experience because we have one more thing to do that our fans love. Here on Springdale Golf Live, we have the rapid fire Q&A. You know, our fans, they just love to get to know our guests on a little bit more of a personal level. So, Thomas, you've been, you know, a tremendous performer up to this minute. But are you ready for this?
I guess so.
All right. Favorite North Carolina basketball team?
Sean May, Raymond Felton, Jackie Manuel. I want to say it was 05. North Carolina, UNC.
UNC. All right. Well, what's your favorite UNC player all time?
Tyler Hansborough. He was a monster. 4 years.
All right. Have you gotten a haircut recently?
I have not. I'm going about 3 months here, but I have one scheduled for next week.
When you have an adult beverage, clear or colored?
Clear.
If you could add one athlete to Mount Rushmore, who would it be?
Tom Brady.
Most interesting person you have written about?
Jerry Jones.
I like that. That's, you know, I bet just thinking about that really quickly here, by first impression, that guy must have been extremely interesting. Give us a quick story there.
You know, so Jerry Jones came to our office maybe 2 years ago. I've been at SBJ for about 4 years. To this day, he's probably the biggest name I've met face to face. You know, sometimes you meet someone and they're kind of everything that you've heard about them, but at the same time, there's a charisma that you've just never seen before. And Jerry Jones, you know, I think most people, if they were NFL owners, they would act more like Jerry Jones than they would care to admit.
Great story. On a scale of 1 to 10, rate your sports trivia knowledge.
I'd say 7.
Seven. Pretty good. All right. What movie would you like to be an actor in?
Ooh, I'll go The Departed.
Excellent. Excellent choice. All right. So if you were to be an actor in that movie, what role?
Oh, you got to give me like just something in the background where I can maybe have a hat low, but have my, you know, Irish beard. I think I could, you know, be in the background of a scene without bothering anybody too much, but I can't go toe to toe with Jack Nicholson.
Or Leo for that matter.
Or Leo.
Right?
Or anyone in that movie.
Yeah, it's a great cast, great ensemble. All right. Do you believe in ghosts?
No.
When you hear the word storyteller, who is the first person that comes to mind?
Stephen King.
Well, you know what? Thomas Leary, when I hear the word storyteller, I think about all you guys over there at the Sports Business Journal. For a lot of people, they might go down the road of Sports Illustrated, et cetera, but I love to know what's going on in the business of sports. I really think you guys are kind of the heartbeat and the pulse of what's going on in the sports industry. I think you've done a tremendous job during this little pause. I wish you all the best as we come out of hibernation here. Can't thank you enough for being on air with me today.
Really appreciate the kind words, Keith. Same to you. I appreciate it.
Well, what a fun show that one was. Now, before I send you over to my Fox Sports colleague, Doug Gottlieb, let's take a moment and thank all of our sponsors for all they do to support Springdale Golf Live, starting first and foremost with TaylorMade Golf. You know they are simply fantastic. New Jersey Golf Foundation, of course, Beadratty, Fairway and Green, Zero Restriction, EP New York, we know them better as Summit Golf Brands, and FH Wadsworth. Hey, Wade, thanks for all you do on the board, bud. Appreciate it. Hope you had a great Memorial Day weekend last weekend, and welcome to summer, my friend. Appreciate the support of my Springdale Board of Governors, Troon Golf Management, and most important, all of you, my listeners. I love you all. Well, you know what? I'm heading to Springdale, but where are you headed? Let the tower be your guide. And from New York to Philadelphia and, of course, everywhere online, may you all have a Springdale day.
This has been Springdale Golf Live with Keith Stewart. Keith returns to the tee next Friday afternoon at 3 on Fox Sports 920 The Jersey.